Thank you so much for joining us online today at Christ Covenant Church. We hope you sense God's presence and are encouraged by the message. Now, here's Pastor Ryan Weems.
All right, if you got a copy of God's Word, this is part 5 of our summer series called Summer Mixtape. And today we're in Psalm 139. We've been on a road trip through the Psalms, and today we're in Psalm 139. And if you grew up in church like me, you're going to know a lot of this psalm. It is one of the greatest hits. There's 150 chapters in the Psalms. 139, David wrote this one as well. He wrote a lot of them. And King David, and this is like on his platinum album, okay? This is the number one bestseller. If he's got a new album that comes out, he may even sneak this one back in. Like, this is a great hit. And so Psalm 139 is where we're going to be. And we're going to read the whole thing. Why, Pastor? Because you can handle 24 verses. I just know you. I'm looking at you. I'm like, man, you can handle it. And so we'll read these together, and God's going to do a great work in us. Psalm 139, I'm going to read out the NIV. Here's what it says. David writing, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar." Somebody say, that's scary. You perceive my thoughts from afar. "You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it already. You know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, God, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. I make my bed in the depths, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created," you may know these next couple of verses, "for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body all the days." We're going to get to this part of this verse at the end. So highlight it, underline it if you're tracking with me. "All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awaken, I am still with you. If only you, God, would slay the wicked. Away from me, you who are bloodthirsty, they speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name, God. Do I not hate those who hate you, Lord, and abhor those who are in rebellion against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Search me, God." You may know these last two verses. "Search me, God. Know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." All right, catch your breath for a second. That was 24 verses, all right? But what a powerful, epic, insightful psalm from David. Let's pray, and then we'll do a little Bible study together, and then we'll get you on your way. Lord, we love you so much. Thank you for my friends here in the room online. And I'm so grateful, God, that they would celebrate our Independence Day together, God, as a church family. And I just pray, Lord, the next few moments that you would just pour out your spirit. I pray, God, that you'd speak through me. I pray, Lord, that one of the things that you put on my heart this past week, that it would just kind of stick out to them, God, and that they would find ways to apply it to their life. And God, we're here not just to play a game with you. We're here because we want to hear from you, not from a man, from you, God. So may you speak, and may you help us to hear. And God, I just pray right now, just feel this in my heart. I just pray, God, and just come against any distractions, anything that would kind of stop us from hearing what you have to say, God, whether it be a phone or a thought or what's been happening or what's to come. I pray, God, that you just help us eliminate those distractions right now to focus in on you for the next few moments. Lord, we love you so much, and we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm calling this message, if you're taking notes, Lose the Label. Lose the Label. you probably noticed this, I know I have, but in our world and in our culture, everything has to have a label nowadays. It was different decades ago, but now everything has to have a label. Like even basic products, even things that are very obvious, it's got to have a label. And the reason why is because if something happens to somebody, or if they have an allergic reaction, or if they use that product in an improper way, they're going to sue that company, right? And so that's why everything's got to have a label. And so they put labels and silly instructions on everything. Why? Because people are dumb. Let's just be honest. Not everybody. But you know, you got a third cousin removed that they need to go back to school. And some people are just dumb. And so they got to put labels on everything. Let me prove it to you. You've seen this. Think about a coffee cup. What do they have to say now because they got sued? What do they have to say on every single coffee cup? Caution, it's hot, right? Like caution, it's hot. Think about knives. You go to any store and you get a box of knives or whatever knives come in, and somewhere there's a label. In fact, I looked this up. There's a label that says this: caution, always keep blades away from your fingers and body. Handle with care. Like, I was just going to juggle them, so I'm glad that's there. Keep out of reach of children, right? Like common sense stuff that they have to put on the label. I read this past week. There was even a peanut butter mix that was recalled. They had to get it all back, lost all this money, this company did, because it didn't have a warning label that it contained nuts. And literally on the front was the three nuts they had, including peanuts, just giant, had it in the name. But because there wasn't a warning label that says caution contains nuts, they had to recall it and get it all back. This is the world we're living in, people. Like this is it. God help us, right? Got to have a label on everything. Now some labels are silly, like these examples, but how many of you know, let's get serious for a moment. When you have a wrong label put on your life, it can actually be destructive, right? Nothing silly about it. And the truth is, I'm sure every one of us has been labeled by others, or maybe even labeled ourselves at times. And what can happen is that these labels that we put on ourselves, or these labels that others put on us, unfortunately, they can begin to define us and limit what God has for our lives. And really, this leads me to our first takeaway from Psalm 139. If you're taking notes, jot this down. We find out, number one, you can't know who you are until you know whose you are. You can't know who you are until you realize whose you are. This is the first six verses of this psalm. You see, as Christians, our identity can't be found in the labels people try to give us. It can't be found in what we do or what people say. Our identity must come from who we belong to. Can I get a better amen on a happy July 4th, Independence Day? Like it's not about what we do or what people say, those labels. Our identity as Christ followers must come from who we belong to. And at the beginning of this psalm, David, he spends his time. If you got the text with you, keep it open throughout the service. He spends his time, David does, talking about God's direct knowledge of our lives. And what he does is he calls out the unique attribute of God. If you're taking notes, jot this down, that God is omniscient. Omniscient. Some of you know that word. Many people don't know that word. Jot it down. It's a big theological word that simply means God knows us and all things. He knows us. Like you're going to Bible college for the next few minutes, okay? I'm going to teach you some theological words. You can stump your friends and sound really smart, okay? Like God is omniscient. He knows us, and he knows all things. Now, the devil is smart, but he does not know everything, okay? They are not equal. Like hear me, friend. He's smart, but he doesn't know everything. But God knows it all. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows everything about us. He doesn't even just know our thoughts. He knows our motives. He knows everything about everything. I don't know if you ever considered this before, but like an idea has never occurred to God. Think about that. Like he's never said this statement, you know what, that idea just occurred to me. You know what, that's a new idea. God has never said that. We say that, right? God sees all the angles, every possible solution. He knows everything about everything, which means that God knows everything about us, and yet he still loves us. Isn't that grace of God, right? Like our thoughts, our actions, our motives, God knows everything, and he loves us perfectly. He can't love you any more or any less. He loves you so, so much, and this is incredible about God. He knows the best of us, but he also knows the worst of us, and he still loves us. And so since God knows us better than we even know ourselves, and because God made us, and because God paid such a high price for our salvation, sending his son Jesus to die in our place, because of all of this, God gets naming rights in your life. We're his. We're his children. We're his sons and his daughters. And because of that, he's the only one that gets to label you. No one else. Like, people can talk about you, they can hate on you, they can try to manipulate you, they can say, well, you're this way, well, you're that way. I'm telling you, those labels don't matter. Don't let them stick on you. The only one that gets to label you is the one who knows you completely, and that's God. Like, I don't care if you've known someone your whole life, they've known you your whole life, they still don't know you the way God knows you. And so God has naming rights on us. He gets to label us. We are his. And when you know whose you are, that we are God's, it's only then that you can know who you are. We got grown people all throughout the world that have no idea who they are. And so that's why the first question we ask people when we meet is, what do? Because we attach what we do to who we are, but that is completely wrong. It is not biblical. Like when people ask you that, you should tell them, I'm a follower of Jesus. That's how you're defined. That's how you see yourself, through the eyes of the Lord. God is the only one that gets to label you. Let all those other labels fall off of your life. I am labeled by God. I care most about what he has to say about my life. Lose the label. All right, here's the second takeaway from this psalm. Number two, you can't ghost the Holy Ghost. You can't ghost the Holy Ghost. We turn here next in Psalm 139. This is verses 7 through 12. And I love these verses from David. It's so powerful. It's so enlightening. David's like this. God, everywhere I go, like, you're not just there. You are already there. Whenever I leave, you're still there, and you're already at the next place that I'm going. Like, David's like, I can't run from you, God. David spent a lot of time in caves, by the way. And David's like, even there, God, you were in that cave with me. I cannot escape your love. And this is true for you. Like, let's just be real. Some of you have been trying to ghost God. Like, some of you, like, it took a miracle just to get you in the room today, a miracle just to get you logged online. Like you're uncomfortable, and it's not just because of the heat here. Like, there's other things. You're like, oh, I'm nervous, because you've been trying to run away from God. I've been there, done that. Trying to run away. Can I tell you something? There is nowhere you can run. You could spend $1 million and get on that first spaceship commercial flight, and God is still there too. You cannot outrun the love of God. You can't run away from God. So stop running. Stop running. Like some of you trying to ghost, disappear away from God, turn away from. I'm telling you, everywhere that you turn, everywhere that you go, God is there. Let's make it real practical. As I prayed earlier, kind of during the communion time, like some of you, like you're in a dark moment, and you're like, I don't feel you, God. I don't sense your presence. Can I tell you, God is even there in your darkest moments. You see, God's presence, it's not an emotion. It's not goosebumps on top of goosebumps, okay? And so you've got to step into the reality that God is omnipresent. Would you write that down if you're taking notes? This is where David, the unique attribute he talks about next, verses 7 through 12, that God's omnipresent, and that's a theological word that means God is with us and also everywhere all at once. How do you explain that? I can't explain it. I'm not God, but it's true. It doesn't just pop up in Psalm 139. It's all throughout the word of God, that God was here before we got here. God will be here after we leave. God is in your car, your vehicle. God is everywhere. But here's where it gets really special. If you're a true follower of Jesus, you know this, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost also lives inside of you. So it's not just like he's like in all these different places. He lives in you. So what does that mean practically? Here's what this means. Like, you don't have to have a building anymore to encounter God. You don't have to have a priest with one of those priest collars or one of those big like headdress things in some denominations. You don't have to get before a priest anymore to encounter God's presence. What does that mean? You don't need a tent like they did in Old Testament times or a tabernacle or all these different things. No. You are, as a follower of Jesus, you are now a temple of God. The Holy Spirit dwells in you. Oh, if I could just pray with the pastor. Oh, can I just come pray at the building? Do that all you want, but you can meet with God in your prayer closet at your apartment or your house. There's no excuses. Because of Jesus, because of his sacrifice on the cross, the veil was torn in two, and every single person, young and old, new believer in season, saint, everybody, we can have instant access to God because he is omnipresent. So stop running. Stop trying to get away from God. You can't get away from him anyway, so just turn to him. Surrender your life to him. I'm telling you, it's the best decision you can ever make. You can't ghost the Holy Ghost. All right, here's the point if you're taking notes. Number three, love this one. We find out at the end of the psalm that God works backwards on purpose. Did you write that down? God works backwards on purpose. This is verses 13 through 22. In this last section of the psalm, David points out another incredible attribute. They're called unique attributes of God, like the theological definition of this grouping. And what David's describing is that God is omnipotent. Write that down. Omnipotent. Here's what this means. That God has all power over us and everything. Like, you just gotta let that settle within you. You are not stronger than God. You're not. Neither am I. God has all authority. God has all power. And so literally, this means that nothing is too hard for God. Like, anybody going through some stuff and that encourages you, nothing is too difficult. If your life is perfect, then maybe you don't need God. But for everybody else that's being real with God, who's got issues and stuff that we're going through, we know the only perfect one is God. And so we need him. And when you're going through marriage conflict or family relational conflict, when you don't know how you'll pay your next bill, when your kids are far from God and you raise them better, when you're struggling in your health, it should encourage you that nothing is impossible with God. Unless you don't believe it, then it can't encourage you. But I know we got some people in this church like me that you believe it. That God is who he says he is, that he has all power and authority. He's omnipotent. See, God has created us as children. And here's what's so mind-blowing, and maybe this will be a new thought for you. Maybe not, but maybe it will be. God created us with the end in mind. I think this is going to help somebody. You see, Jesus died for you so you could be saved from something and also for something. From something and for something. Jesus saves us from our sin, but he also sets us out for God's purpose. From something and for something. And God worked it all backwards. God sees the end and the beginning. Think about a parade for a second. If you were to watch a parade, you can see only one portion of that parade, right? Whether you're at the middle of it, the beginning, or the end. God, as he looks at the parade, he sees the beginning, the middle, and the end. Not only that, but he can operate inside of that time during that parade, but he can also operate outside of time when it comes to that parade. That's who God is. That's how powerful he is. He sees it all, knows it all. He can operate in it and also outside of it. And so when it comes to your life, I'm not preaching to anybody else but you. This is not for your niece or your nephew. This is for you. When it comes to your life, God saw specific problems and big needs that would be present in 2021 and beyond. From the very beginning, he saw it all before it ever happened. And here's what he does. He sees the problems, he sees the needs in your family and this city and the world, and then he worked backwards to create you. Think about it. What does David say here about God? He says, all of our days are already recorded. That does not mean that you don't have free will. You have free will. What this means is you're leaning into God's sovereignty. That God, he knows what needs to happen and what's going to happen. He's not making it happen. He sees it all, working in time and outside of time. I know we're going deep, but hang with me. He sees it all. Every single day is numbered. Your first breath, your last breath, and every breath in between. It's all already recorded. And God saw it all. And there's a reason why you were born in the 30s, the 40s, 50s, 60s, all the way to my kids, which is really weird to say that they were born like in 2020, 2019, 28. Isn't that weird when kids are born like recently? But anyways, whatever decade you were born in, God knew that was the right decade. You worked backwards on your purpose, and you to be born in the 40s or the 50s would lead you today to be in this city. I don't care if you hate Houston, love Houston, or indifferent to Houston, you're in this city for a reason right now. Whatever decade you were born in, whatever family, oh man, my family drives me crazy, doesn't matter. It was all on purpose. It all led you to this moment to be in this city, in this church, to be at the exact age that you're at, to be at the exact job that you're at. It was all on purpose. God worked it backwards. He knew. He knew you'd be here. Well, we just decided 5 minutes before service today. That's you, not God. He knew. And it was all designed on purpose, for a purpose. Well, what's the purpose? That you would make a difference right where you are. All your days are already recorded. That does not mean that God's making all your decisions. You have free will. It means that there was problems as a result, not of God, of our sin, the fall of humanity. Don't be mad at God for all the problems. We caused the problems. God is the solution. But he's not playing catch up. Are you tracking with me? He's not. He knew that Adam and Eve would rebel. He knew that at one point of our lives, we would rebel and turn away. But in his love, in his grace, in his sovereignty, working it all backwards, he said, you know what? I'm going to put them with this family in this decade, in this city, in that relationship, in this church. Also, I can work in them and through them to change the world. So often we get so caught up, well, these other countries and all that stuff's important, friend. We support so many missionaries. Every month we send them a check. I tell you all the time, we tithe as a church. There's no commandment in the Bible for churches to tithe, but we do that because we're all about missions, locally, nationally, internationally. We are not anti-missions. But so often what happens is we get focused on these other countries and we forget that we're in this city for a reason. I love singing these songs, God Bless the USA, and I love what we are founded on, but we know that there's so many people that they could care less about all of that. The USA is now one of the largest unreached people groups in the world. But again, God worked it all backwards. He saw the problems. He saw the difficulties. He saw the pain. He saw the struggle, all a result of our sin, the fall of humanity. And he said, you know what? I'm going to work backwards, and I'm going to create Dan, and I'm going to create Catherine, and I'm going to create Susan, and I'm going to create Tony, and I'm going to create Ryan in the exact decade that they were born with the mom and dad that they have and the family and the relationships, and it's all going to lead them to this moment. All the days are already recorded so they can make a difference for my kingdom. And as we take a step back and look at this psalm, 30,000 foot view, as we get ready to pray, I see a progression in this psalm. What happens in the first six verses? We've got to realize who we are, how God sees us, losing the label that others try to put on us. People try to label me. Hey, you should be more like this. You should do, I got to be Ryan Weems. I got to be me. I can't be anybody else. So we realize who we are. What's the second part of the progression? Verses 7 through 12, I believe, somewhere in there. Second part is we've got to remember that God is with us. Realize who we are. Remember God is with us. And then what's the last part, the progression? Then when we look to fulfill our purpose God has given us, then we can pray verses 23 through 24. You got the Bible open, look at them. What's David say at the end of this whole psalm? He prays this: God, look within my heart. Know my anxious thoughts. Test my actions, my thoughts. Test my motives. How many of y'all know you can do the right thing for the wrong reasons and it's still wrong? Test me, God, and renew an upright spirit within me. Set me on the course, the way of everlasting. What's he saying? What's he praying? Not Ryan's will, but God's will. Not your will, but God's will be done. Not David's will, but God's will be done. Not just in the world, but in my life specifically. Let's pray together. Jesus, I pray right now that you would highlight one of those points, one of those thoughts, maybe even something else that I didn't even say, that each of us would have at least one thing to take away from this message. Lord, for some, they've been letting the labels that other people put on them define them for far too long. That you're worthless, that you're a nobody, that you'll never figure that out, that you're a bad parent, a bad spouse. I pray, God, they would lose the label right now if that's them. They'd instead see themselves through your eyes, that you know us perfectly, completely. You love us. I pray, God, for others that have been running away from you, thinking that the deep, dark valley that they're in, that they've lost you and they can't feel you or sense you. I pray, God, you'd encourage them today that you're there in the valley. I think about what your word says. You cradle every tear. I pray, God, for those that have been wandering, living their life not with a sense of purpose, complaining about all the problems in their world. May you turn that thinking on its head, and may they realize today that you want to work in them and through them to help solve the problem they face. It's not an accident that they're in this city. It's not an accident they're in this service. Not an accident they're in this church. Not an accident that they have the family they have. They're at the job that they have. They may despise it. They may feel like, oh, it's so difficult. But God, maybe, just maybe, you worked it all backwards and you knew where they'd be in this moment, and you want to work in them and through them to bring about positive change, to point people to you in that situation. May we stop focusing on the problem and take a step back and realize that you have a great purpose for us, to be your hands and be your feet. to walk in the way of everlasting, to not have our personal agenda be done, but to have your will be done in our lives. And I pray, God, even now, especially for the followers of Jesus, I pray, God, even now that we would be bold enough to pray this prayer that David prays at the end. Search us, God. Renew an upright spirit within us. Test our ways, our motives, our actions, our thoughts. And if anything doesn't line up with your word, if anything doesn't line up with your will, God, may we die to ourselves. May we die to our will, our agenda. May we live our lives in such a way that we're running after you. And I pray, lastly, for anybody that's far from you, I pray, God, today would be their day of salvation. They would surrender their life to you. That even now, friend, you can pray this prayer. It's Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and you will be saved. You can do that now. I'll coach you in words to say. You can whisper to him if you're far from God and you want to surrender your life to him. Jesus, we confess you're Lord, you're God. We believe that you died on the cross and you rose from the dead 3 days later, and we ask you to forgive us of our sins. We can't save ourselves. Clean us up from the inside out. Make us new, make us whole. We give you our lives, we surrender all. And we ask all of this in Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you made a decision for Jesus Christ, or if your life has been impacted in any way, please send us an email at info@christcov.net. We would love to hear your story. And for those that committed your life to Christ, we want to help you on your new journey by sending our free Start Bible Kit in the mail. If you'd like to partner with us financially, simply click on the Give tab at christcov.net. There it will take you to a safe and secure page where you can set up a one-time or recurring gift to help us accomplish our vision, heaven full and hell empty. And as always, you can find out more about Christ Covenant on our website or on Facebook or Instagram at Christ Cove Houston.